Welcome to Ever Beyond, broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, Tune in to TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes, indeed, you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Let me just adjust my mic. I fixed up my, I had a problem with my mic stand. It had kind of slightly collapsed, but I gave it a bit of remedial repair last night with a hammer, and it seems to be working better. Not the microphone itself; it's the press steel stand. Yeah, I'm not going to hit my precious $500 microphone with a hammer. Now let me turn up the. That's better. Now I can hear me better in the headphones. That's good. So what's been happening this week? This is a week of enormous acceleration, and at the same time, I've been feeling terrible. I don't know about everybody else. I don't know if it's local bugs or global bugs or gravity waves. I feel it's gravity waves. Maybe we'll talk about this later on with my guest. But a few people I know who are of that sensitive ilk have been kind of knocked flat, you know, sleeping. You might be sleeping a little bit more than normal. You may have stomach upsets or things like that. Deep core issues will be brought up. So you may be suffering some deep trauma. I mean, we can see that people who are in the zones where there are fires are having to, you know, completely up and get going, like Laura. One of those lovely things is that the human kindness comes out when situations like this occur. So it's a great opportunity to put in a lot of service, burn out a lot of karma. Let me say, you know, you help somebody, you burn off your karma. So that's this week. There's so much going on in the QAnon world, there's a lot going on in the political world, and Hollywood, and essentially it really feels like the moment we've been waiting for a very, very long time, has finally arrived. So, that's all I got to say about this week's events. I hope that, we're all riding it, and, not too many of you have lost homes. I mean, we know for a fact that one of our hosts, Laura, who has the previous show, is currently, the reason she was not on her show live today was because she was doing a fundraiser to get a new house because the last one burnt down a couple of weeks ago. So, it's you know, it's very close to home here. So, having said all that, that's all the kind of stationary stuff. Thank you for all your donations. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for coming to Studio 9 Jam and enjoying the things that I presented up there. If anybody's wondering, Studio 9 Jam, I used to run a studio, it was in a workshop in an old stable block in a Victorian, mansion house in Scotland, what they call the Laird's House. And, you know, literally on the key, it said Studio 9, when I moved in 2000. And I thought, wow, what a great name. So I started, you know, so I call things Studio 9. My company is, you know, it's Studio 9 Soundworks, or Studio 9 Sound. I used to have a jam session every Friday, and my aim was to actually have the jam session live on the internet, just like people do these days with live broadcasts, except 2000 to 2008, we were still working with modems and dial-up, and you know, just that just wasn't possible, especially in my area where I was, you know, very remote area. So, who knows? It might happen. But I've got a few bits of my music, a couple of bands that I've got on it. So that's why it's called Studio 9 Jam. That was the original intent many years ago when I got the channel. Never quite happened. Everything morphed into radio. So here we are today, 2017, the 10th of December. And I am speaking tonight with Siobhan Grace, who's been very gracefully sitting on the call, waiting to be introduced. Hang on, let me just a sec. There we go. Is there a way to hear just one stream of you? You twice. Two different streams of you talking. You've probably got two radios on. You might have Wolf Spirit Radio still switched on, so you might want to... Got it. Okay, good. Right. So, I can hear you.
Yes, I do. Just typing to let you know that I closed out the window.
There you go. Bless your heart. Yeah, so, welcome, Siobhan. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm doing pretty well tonight. I appreciate you asking. And I just want to thank you for having me on. It's been a while since you and I have done this, a few years. And I just want to send out a warm welcome to the audience and thank them for being with us tonight. And we should be in for a good time.
So I probably got a whole, you know, new audience since we last spoke. So do you want to, first of all, give us a bit of background about, you know, where you are and who you are. And then we'll start talking about what you're into, and then that's where we can take off. So, how did it all start for you?
Okay. My name is Siobhan, and several years ago, I used to go by the name Humanity Transcending. Humanity Transcending. I had a radio show on Wolf Spirit Radio and Revolution Radio at the time. And that show was, well, kind of the title explains what it is, right? Humanity transcending what mostly are our limitations, our self-imposed prisons of thought and belief. So it was about breaking through that stuff, as well as heavy focus on what most people know now as the deep state and our transcending that sort of matrix of artificial power that we found ourselves kind of locked into and slaves to. So I was very, very active. Around 2008, I started going on a journey of holistic health, and I got really cleaned up in body and mind. And once that happened, for some reason, I kind of had some other type of spiritual awakenings, if you will. I became more aware of what was going on in the world, and to the point where I pretty much became obsessed with it. So obsessed that I wrote a book that was also called Humanity Transcending. You know, I found out about the banking system, the deep state, the infiltration of the United States government, the United Nations and all the spawns of that, like Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius and, you know, all these programs that are designed to shrink the population and basically have complete and total dominance over everyone, being ruled by a few. So that became an obsession for me. I was actively on the circuits out there talking about this stuff, and that led me into also knowledge about chemtrails, geoengineering, solar radiation management, all that stuff. And so I became really active around that. And I started a whole project around it, developing awareness. I hooked up with some other people on Long Island. I don't know if you remember them. Long Island Skywatch, Jim and Cindy Bakulis. They were my buddies. And for a while, we were very, very active around exposing the chemtrails. And we made some strides and headway with that in our local area on Long Island. And we basically, attracted to ourselves lots of people. So a whole new community opened up of people who were interested in this type of information and doing something to help. And so I was able to meet other people out there, and it was like, wow, a whole new world of friends that I didn't have before, because the current friends I had thought I was kind of nutso. You know, they weren't really getting it.
Yeah, well, that's par for the course, isn't it? This is what we're all experiencing. You know, you're nuts. No, I'm not. This is real.
Yeah, it is. And it can be uncomfortable, because I've lost friends over it. You know, I don't really want to use the word lost, but you know, over the years, I've had close friends that I grew up with sort of distance themselves from me because of the type of information I was putting out. You know, it challenged everything they believed in and thought they knew about the world, and for them, they weren't ready. So I've kind of gone through all of it. I've gone through the loneliness of not having really anybody to talk to you about this, to going through it anyway and staying true to myself, and then finding people of like mind and like heart that I could talk to about this stuff and even hang out, you know, that I could have a glass of wine with and we could talk about chemtrails. You know, I could have a glass of beer with and we could talk about the deep state. So it was like I was able to find people again that I could just hang with but have these conversations, which was really important. So yeah. So let's see. So that was around 2012, became really active around that, started doing the radio show. Then I decided, maybe that was a little before, 2010, 2011. 2012, I decided that I was going to become quote unquote sovereign, right? Because all of the research had then led me to the, you know, the fact that the United States is no longer a republic as it was originally, as it originally began. It is now a corporation, if you will, also operates as a trust, but, you know, where all the United States citizens are really members of a company, of a corporation. And so I became aware of that and all of the knowledge surrounding that. And that was really huge for me too. I sought out people to talk to, literally would like travel to go speak to people who were quote unquote living a sovereign lifestyle, because I had no idea what that would look like for me. So I met some people and I decided, you know, and this is the power of intention. Be careful what you ask for. You know, when you ask for something, be really clear and be prepared for it to come, because I had made such a bold intention in 2012 to become sovereign. I really wasn't knowing what I was getting myself into. And so long story short, you know, I had a summer where I was literally in and out of jail several times, over driving. I had a suspended license from some tickets. My person rather had some suspended license with some tickets. And I decided that this was going to be my experiment. So I got pulled over for the suspended license, and I decided that this was going to be the opportunity and experience for me to test, to test out all my knowledge about sovereignty and right to travel and freedom and our natural inherent rights, as well as our rights, you know, acknowledged by the Constitution. Constitution, of course, doesn't grant us any rights. It just acknowledges the ones we already have. So I did a lot of things wrong. And I also did a lot of things right. And in the end of it all, I really did see the difference between the two jurisdictions, the original jurisdiction of the United States of America, Republic, and the jurisdiction of the United States. And it was a really powerful experience for me. I was getting arrested in the courtroom the first several times. And a lot of it was out of my own confusion when they were approaching me. So again, we could go into this another time, this, cause it's a long story, but the power that I saw was that the last time that I was in the courtroom, I finally had enough cognizance to be aware of what was going on around me as I was speaking to the judge. And so again, at one point the police officers, approached me to handcuff me. And this time I had, which I wasn't aware of the past few previous times, I had expressed to them that they didn't have my permission to touch me and that I accepted both of their oaths of office. And I saw it was like the Red Seas parted, JP. They just retreated and they stayed so far away from me from that point. And now again, I was messing up here and there because I was putting in affidavits into the court, you know, basically declaring my status, that I was not the person. I was not going to be the surety for the U.S. person, that you know, I was an American national sovereign and like that, right? So, but the thing with that is, you know, the paper will only get you so far. You have to know how to live this stuff in the moment, especially in a moment like when you're in court. So I was stepping in and out of both jurisdictions. And when I would step out of the original jurisdiction by accident, you know, in my own confusion and gone back into the United States jurisdiction, they were able to arrest me. And when I stood on my square and stood in the original jurisdiction, they backed off like I had the plague. So I saw miraculous things throughout that time. And so I know that to all be very, very real and accurate. Now, as far as, if, you know, my right to travel and exercising that right to travel, that is really a personal choice. I sent the driver's license back in to the DMV and canceled that contract. So that is something I've been dealing with for the past few years. To tell you the truth, exercising right to travel is you have to be prepared for it. You have to be prepared to spend 72 hours in a jail cell for freedom, you know, these days, because a lot of the police officers are ignorant of the inherent rights that we do have that are still, that never went anywhere. It's just when we contract to have a license, you know, now we're, you fill out an application, apply means begging in a law dictionary, you're begging, you know, the corporation to license you to do something. So.
Which is, please give me permission to do the things that I would have done anyway, but you've made them a statute against it.
Exactly. It's something we have a right to do. Although drive is different than travel. Again, in the law dictionaries, they're very, very different. Driving is a commercial activity. So that was. What a wild experience. What a wild experience. And so ever since then, you know, and even at the time I was like, I just want to live off the land and farm organically. And I kind of wanted to check out of the whole thing. I was so disappointed with what I had learned about the world and what was happening and all the deceptions at the levels of government and whatnot, that I had wanted to check out of like society as we know it. So I did the sovereign thing and kind of went off the grid for a while. And that's why I didn't, you know, wasn't doing radio shows anymore, JP. I was like, you know, growing organic vegetables and trying to live off the land. And so that was another time in my life that was really interesting. And
oh, great. Well, you know, look, there's
very close with nature. Yeah.
Plenty of seeds to expand on. I mean, yeah. So keep going. So there you were. So, you did your thing and you're now digging your thing.
Right. So did that, live off the land, organic farming, and that was fantastic. And then, over time, I felt that I had almost isolated and in a way, JP, after years and years of talking about all the things that, you know, you and I have talked about and that you talk about on your show and things I used to talk about on my show, I almost became jaded to the point where I didn't even feel like helping anyone anymore. Like I didn't even feel like putting my voice out because what could it really do? What is what I was thinking at the time. This machine, this deep state is so big, and I just felt like I didn't know which way it was going to go. And so I felt like I just needed to kind of isolate and go inside for a while. So that was a whole, you know, the last few years have just been about all of that. And so I became isolated and wanted to turn inward into my spirituality because my barking about the New World Order, it was helpful in a lot of ways, but it left me unfulfilled in a lot of ways. And I started to feel that if I continue to focus on this so much, you know, it really was affecting my own vibration. And so I knew that I had to make a change and really just go inside, focus on myself first and foremost, and then come back out to teach again because I'm an ordained interfaith minister. I'm a life coach. And so that is just part of my callings. So that's stuff I need to do, but I had to reset my own come from. I had to like recalibrate. And so that's what I did. So, you know, I took a lot of spiritual trainings, which I've been doing my whole life. But I took more in-depth stuff and intensives, and I got myself spiritually along to a place where I wanted to be. And so now that's really where my focus is teaching about the spiritual laws of the universe very, very clearly, not in the sense of like, you know, everybody knows about law of attraction, right? Everybody knows about that, but this is more precise, more precise in terms of how we relate to the laws, how they operate through us and all around us and regulate, you know, our mind, body, spirit system. So, and that's just part of it, but that's really where I've come to. And so I have new projects that have launched around my spiritual teachings now and being a minister and being, you know, a life coach. So that's where I'm at, and that's where I have landed happily, and that's where I'm going to stay. So that's kind of in a nutshell version of what's happened over the past few years.
So that's why we haven't seen you for a bit. You've been knee deep in organic muck and growing carrots, and so you know you're talking about the path that some of us have taken, and that in the future, I believe a lot more of us will. Now, there we were, 2012, New World Order, Agenda 21, yeah, it's coming soon. What does soon mean? Here's soon. This is soon, right? So, sweet. And you can't keep up that level of intense excitement. You know, Vanessa noted, you know, sounds like she got burned out for a while. Yeah, we all burn out. You can't keep up that level of Alex Jonesitude, if you like.
Right, only Alex could do that. Right?
Yeah, like where does he get it from? I got it from my roids, you know. It's so... it's off-putting, to be honest. Yeah, it's very off-putting, especially to us Brits, you know, us, you know, Alex Jones, bloody mad American, you know. And, you know, doesn't help the cause, as it were. So, yeah, being able to take a step back and actually get on with it. And like you did, you know, cause we talk about being preppers. Preparing for things, and you know, the day that the power cut comes, oh bloody hell, I haven't got any matches, can't light the candles, can't light fire, you know, the stupid things, you know. So actually living it is what, you know, this is what I'm trying to do here. You know, I'm trying to live a, you know, I've got a regular electricity supply, but I've also bought some solar panels because I'm experimenting with it. I'm seeing what works, what doesn't work, you know. And the only way to find out if something works or it doesn't work is to work it. And so I think there's a lot of hosts who have, you know, done their thing and said, right, okay, let's work what I've been talking about. Let's walk this talk. And so there you were, knee deep in organic muck. And, I mean, is it now a kind of background activity that you're still carrying on with while you're going into the spiritual thing, or is it like, oh damn it, I've moved back into town, I'm going to Tesco, you know, or going to wherever you get your vegetables?
You know, now I keep myself informed about what's going on. You know, a few times a week I'm checking in for what's going on with everything happening right now with regards to the deep state and Trump and all of the exposing going on, stuff that we've known about for years. Some of us have known about it for decades, right? You've known about it probably longer than me. So I keep myself informed about it. However, I don't really talk about it to other people unless they're interested. You know, before, back in the day, I would shout it out from the mountaintops, and I didn't, you know, care if anybody wanted to hear or not. I was going to tell them. And that had its pros and its cons. You know, it helped spark an awakening for people, but then sometimes people just didn't want to hear it and it felt forced for them. So now I kind of really just reserve it for people that I know are really interested. If somebody wants to talk about that with me, or if I see that there's a window where they know a little bit about certain things and they're willing to hear more, then I'll go into it. But I don't really know. It's not part of my activism anymore, so to speak. I guess what I would consider is like an activist of the universal order and organization, and an activist of, you know, unfolding our true nature. could put it. So that's where my activism lies, and I keep myself informed, but I don't swim in it anymore, JP. I can't because it affects my vibration too much. So
oh, yeah, I mean because you're pushing out into the field of unbelief, and that takes a lot of energy.
That and you know, let's face it, you know, what we're dealing with is the negative polarity when we're talking about the deep state and the type of activities that they're involved in. You know, this is what some people may call evil. I tend to view it as the, you know, on the scale of vibration, we're dealing with the lowest vibrations here. We're dealing with the negative polarity expressing through people, or maybe some of them aren't people. I don't really know. But nonetheless, that's what's going on here. So to swim in what the negative polarity is doing all the time is going to make make it much more difficult for one to position themselves on their vibrational scale where they actually want to be. So I can only handle so much of it without myself, falling too far down on the scale. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But again, it's important to keep informed. It's so important to keep informed. So that happens no matter what. And I think I'm more useful to people now in general. I'm more useful to myself and to others by focusing on what I'm focused on now, because when you talk about the universal laws, you know, not knowing them is part of why we're in the mess that we're in. Not understanding the order and organization of ourselves and of this existence is part of why we're in this mess.
That's right.
It just is. It's part of our blind spots and ignorance that we've had regarding that has co-created some of these problems. So that, you know, knowing the universal laws, how they work, how you relate to them, and how you can apply your understanding of them, you know, I'm not talking about a superficial understanding. I'm talking about an advanced understanding, that the ancients had, those that preserved this knowledge, those in some of the secret societies, you know, the occultists, the gurus, the holy men and women over time who have, thank God, preserved this knowledge for us. It's just huge. It was known since recorded history, this stuff. So when we get an advanced understanding of it, we can then apply that advanced understanding to our lives, and that's where the dramatic shifts happen, inside and outside. The effects follow. But there is absolutely nothing we can do by working on the effects. We have to start at the level of cause with everything, ourselves and the outside world. So I am mostly interested in getting to the cause of things.
Getting to the heart of the matter.
Absolutely. And a lot of the cause happens to lie in our subconscious mind.
Absolutely.
Which we don't readily have, you know, access to consciously. Absolutely. We have to bring that. I don't know if we can curse on your show. I was going to say.
You can say what the fuck you like.
I was going to say.
It might not go into YouTube, but you can say.
We have to dig up the shit that's in the subconscious. Well, if we're finding that we're blocked somewhere, or we're not seeing something, or let's say a lot of time when our creative faculty is stifled, when our creativity is feeling like kind of stifled, like we're having writer's block or whatnot, a lot of the time there's some subconscious wall or block there. And if we don't uproot that cause, then no matter how much we try to work in the world of effects, we're just spinning our wheels. And we're expending a lot of raw energy, but in a way that is not effective or efficient for us when we're spinning our wheels like that. So we get to the root cause of things, you uproot it, and then it comes to your conscious mind, and then you can do something with it. You can release it, you can let it go, it loses its grip on you because you've made the unconscious conscious. And so that is really where most of my specialty and expertise and interest lies these days.
Wow, so now there's some majorly interesting threads there that we can tease out and examine. And so, no, I fiddling with my lighter, and really what I wanted to hold my crystal in my hand. That's better. That feels better. Yeah.
What are you lighting?
Candles and things. But there's all right. So there's what we what the what a good focus would be to is to because we right. So where are we going?
Well, there's a lot we could go into. We can talk about things. We can teach about things.
Yeah. Well,
there's
right.
Just
yes.
So much that
laws.
We want to focus on.
Yeah. There were just too many things to pick on. But law, right? Okay. So let's talk about law. Let's talk about the seventh ray. Now, you remember I mentioned the rays earlier on, and right. My audience are kind of familiar with me talking about the rays. One of the aspects of the seventh ray, which is the new ray influence, the cosmic influence coming in, is what we call the New Age. It's the ray of law and of order and of magic and of sequence and of rhythm. All of those things are the same thing. They're the same energy, really, in different expressions.
Different expressions, right.
And so let's talk about let's go to the fundamentals. You know, we're talking about universal laws. Now there's these esoteric laws that I've been talking about, and there's the kind of slightly exoteric law of attraction, as it's been called. In my world, there's the law of correspondence. There's always the law of one. We're all children of the law of one, I'm imagining. So, talk to us about the universal laws that you've been delving into and how they express.
Right. Well, every one of them that you mentioned, you know, is I'm familiar with as well, and they can go by so many different names, meaning the same thing.
Exactly. So, and, what's yours?
Right, and they all interface as well. As what I find is that if one is, what I find, like for example, when people work with law of attraction, if they're not really familiar with the rest of the order and the organization of existence, then they can get tripped up. Maybe the law of attraction isn't working as well as you'd like it to, but you're not knowing why. And when you start to understand the other laws, you start to have insight then even into the law of attraction and why it may or may not be working for you how you want it to. So what I noticed with, I'll answer your question in a moment, but what I noticed with, you know, the religions of the world, when I did my interfaith minister training, we studied all like the major religions of the world, and what I noticed is that, you know, the religions point to the universal laws. They point to the spiritual laws. They even give like parables sometimes, or quotes and clauses that are describing a universal law. But the issue with that is they don't really do it in depth. They don't really describe it in a way that most people can understand today, and it's so sparse. And there's no direction in terms of how to apply your sparse understanding as it is to your life. So for me, I had to dig deeper, which I was always more interested in the esoteric knowledge anyway. And esoteric, for anybody that's curious, just means, you know, the inner meaning, and exoteric is the outer meaning. So some of the laws, like for instance, that I cover in my, in the Human Power and Energy Academy's master class, that was just launched this week. I talk about, you mentioned the law of rhythm. That's one of them. The law of polarity, the law of vibration. So they all interface and intersect and work together. The law of rhythm, I find them all fascinating. I especially find the law of rhythm fascinating because it's kind of twofold. It applies where the law of rhythm is about measured motion. Okay, so where the law of vibration is about motion, meaning everything is in constant motion, whether a slow slow rate of vibration or a high rate of vibration. Everything is in motion, right? That's the principle of vibration. But the law of rhythm is about measured motion. So you can think of the tides, high tide, low tide, right? A rise and a fall. So those are measured rhythms. You can even look at the seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall. Those are measured cycles, motions, yeah, habitual cycles. So not only are we talking about measured motion when we talk about law of rhythm, the other aspect of the law of rhythm, which is equally important to recognize, is that the law of rhythm, its job is to establish habits throughout all of nature. So the seasons that we see are a habit of nature. And the law of rhythm was responsible for etching that habit into existence. So we are habitual creatures. There is absolutely no way of escaping that fact that we are and will continue to be habitual creatures. That's the law of rhythm. The law of rhythm is always going to be establishing patterns, cycles, rhythms, habits. A cycle is a habit. Right? if you think about it, it's a habit. It's a recurring thing that keeps happening again and again and again. So all the cycles of nature, the patterns of nature, are all habits of nature established by this law of rhythm, which organizes that aspect of existence. So with regards to us, in particular, human beings, you're going to be a habitual creature no matter what. What kind of habits are you going to establish in yourself? So chances are that we all have Not chances are, you know, it's a fact that we all come in with certain habits embedded in our DNA. The habits of our ancestors, thought habits, behavioral habits, all right, we come in with some or a lot of those, whether they're conscious or unconscious to us, and then we develop habits over our life. And so you can notice this, you know, when you're driving or when you're brushing your teeth. These are habits that are pretty well established. You can do them like what? Second nature, because it's a habit. You know, if you're trying something new and it's not quote unquote second nature yet, it's because it hasn't become a habit yet. But when it does, the law of rhythm makes life easy because you don't have to keep relearning anything. It just sets it as a habit. So what we have to be conscious of then is what kind of habits are we establishing, because we will be habitual regardless. So are we establishing habits that are healthy and serve our well-being and serve our thriving, or are we living in habits that don't serve our well-being and that negate our thriving and like that? So the law of rhythm is very important to understand. If you realize the fact that you are habitual by your nature, I'm not talking about your soul, okay, I'm talking about your mind, body, energy, spirit complex. That is all governed by the law of rhythm. All of that is going to be habitual. You're going to have habitual mind patterns, habits of body, and habits of energy, grooves of energy. So that is important for people to become aware of. If they're aware of that, then they realize the power of nature is going to make a rhythms out of their dominant thought habits. Whatever the dominant thought habit is, you can bet your ass that the law of rhythm is going to create a habit around that dominant thought pattern for you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Very well put. The seventh ray is all about cycles. And as you were saying, you know, rhythm, cycles, they're all the same thing. So when the cycles, as you say, you know, you have what as a habit, and what is a routine? They're very, very similar. I think The routine is something that you've chosen, and a habit is something that you haven't really chosen, mm-hmm. or that you've subconsciously chosen. And that was, you know, so the word you said the word half an hour ago, the word subconscious. Which is something that I've been speaking with various people about. And that's what many people who are healers, including myself and obviously yourself, it's all about the subconscious. It's all about what's been stuffed below the level of our ability to recognize that we're actually doing it. So it's like when somebody is behaving badly and you can't really explain to them why they're behaving badly because it's kind of normal to them. Yeah, it's like, you know, the old school sexism of guys in the '70s. You know, we look at all these seventies movements. Like, oh my God, did I really say that?
Right, right.
So it's, so the task at hand really is to transform these habits, transcend human habits, as it were, and actually get on with everybody a lot better because it's these habits which, as we say, are subconscious, therefore we're not conscious of doing them and they may be outdated.
That, and they may be stifling, you know, one's expression and one's unfoldment as a spiritual being. In fact, they are oftentimes doing that, and that's why they need to be uprooted. So any habitual patterns that someone is not aware that they're having, that's definitely existing in the subconscious mind. Now, these habits can be broken, but they have to be brought up to the surface mind, first and foremost. And
yes, that's triggered. Why
they really do. And the term I use is deep diving. One literally has to take a deep dive into their own subconscious mind and look for and wait patiently for what the block is. And oftentimes, that's just the first layer of the block. So Neil Donald Walsh, in his Conversations with God, talks about the thought behind the thought. The thought behind the thought. And so there are many thoughts behind our conscious mind thoughts. And then when we delve into the deep conscious, you know, it would get revealed to you sort of one idea or concept or words. And then when you look behind that, there's yet another layer that is causing that. So let's say, you know, if you find, let's say, jealousy inside yourself, behind that may be envy, behind that may be vanity, and then behind that may be, like, you know, the better than complex, like, I think I'm better than someone. So there's layers to our shit. There's layers to our dominant thought patterns, conscious and unconscious. And so that's what I mean by the level of cause, just what you said, the subconscious mind where things are happening, programs are running, that we picked up along the way, that we've adopted along the way, that we came in with, that they're just running on autopilot. And the only way that we can break those habitual patterns in the subconscious is to make them available, see them with our conscious mind. That's, and then we can start doing the work with them.
That's it, bringing them into the conscious mind. And
have to. There's no other way.
To be honest, that's what I think, this is what's happening globally to everybody, and some people can't cope with it. And you see people are melting down about all sorts of things that have been programmed into them. You know, it's actually the programs themselves that cause the meltdown, because they're completely unnatural, and the meltdown is our body is like having a fever, bringing it up to a temperature so that it can boil the germs away.
Yeah. Definitely a purging going on now of the collective mind. And there needs to be, because there's some really horrendous stuff in there that we need to come to terms with and, you know, work to transform.
Well, you know, the whole nature of our society, that it is, you know, a Truman Show of sorts, because it's been built up around us and we've been told that this is the way it is and the way it's always been. And yet, by actually doing some deep research, we can find out that it's not that way, and that some people have been lying to us. In fact, a lot of people have been lying to us. But, you know, the idea of governance, like you've been talking about, you know, we don't need to be governed. Who needs to govern us? Only people who want to control us. Why do they want to control us? Because they want our energy. They want to, you know, they're controlling us like they're clipping the leaves off apple trees so that apples grow. You know, so that they can get a product out of us. And the whole facade of society is really to, you know, it's a tree, you know, it's a tree that they harvest fruit from. But I think this is not something that has always been, and it's something that is coming to an end because there are a sufficient number of people inside and outside and outside of this planet that have had enough of these jokers who are doing it. And this is what I believe is being dealt with right now.
I would agree with you on that. There's definitely a shifting of mass consciousness occurring, and it's been occurring for a while, but we definitely see it coming more to a head. Like, things are on the verge of climax right now.
Oh yeah.
And it is intense, boy. It is so intense. And I am happy to see that more people have come to their own realizations about these things. It's just so obvious now with the media and their all out just agenda of, you know, obviously now creating false stories. They've been doing that for forever, but now they're getting caught. They're getting caught like right away because of the power of people and the internet combined. So they can't get away with it anymore. So a lot of people are waking up to that and seeing it. And it's just so glorious to see others realizing that they've been being manipulated and lied to by the media and turning away from it finding their information elsewhere. So I'm very happy to see the mainstream media in an absolute downward spiral free fall right now. That is just like, you know, to me, that's fun.
It is good to see some people. Oh, look at that guy. Yeah, never liked him. Never. Oh yeah. And you can see all these shills, you know, that are now very obviously shills. Cause they've been forced to say things that are stupid. You know, they have been forced to say the earth is flat. You know, even if they don't believe it, they show themselves. You know, you know, we can see that there's also the connection between, as you politely put, the deep state, or let's call it the Clinton, Podesta, Rothschild, Habsburg, Saxe-Gotha, child trafficking international network thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that is. Now, you know, people are peeling around the edges of that because people have brought the Secret Services into question, and the Secret Services, the secret that they are serving is that they're all pedos, and that they've been harvesting our children like ripe young baby sweet corns.
Mm-hmm. This is a devastating thing that a lot of people are going to have difficulty digesting. I mean, I've known about it for a long time. Like you have, and when I first found out about it, I was devastated. It was devastating to realize this, and so many, many people are going to go through that shock. You know, their system is going to be shocked, and it's quite understandable. But there's absolutely no way we can transcend this stuff, right, if we don't look at it. So it's almost like the collective subconscious. Things are coming out from the collective subconscious into the conscious mind of the collective. And it's a process. You got to process that stuff.
That's right. We literally have to digest it.
And yes,
it's
exactly.
Indigestible material. It's a bit like sweet corn. but I don't know where that analogy came from. Anyway, but yes, much indigestible material has to be digested before humanity can move on, because we have to take responsibility for it, because we are a unified group. And so if there are pedophiles among us, then inside us there is a representative of that element.
Yeah,
and there's a representative of the brutal, the part of us that sees another person as not a human being, and therefore worthy of brutality. you know. Yeah, so we all have that
negative polarity inside.
That's sure. Right. We all, as what I call the inner Nazi, you know.
Yeah. And absolutely.
And it's really hard to spot. It's really hard to spot, you know, because they're subtle. And they do everything, you know, this inner Nazi does everything that Nazis do, including hiding underground, which is like they hide in the subconscious. They program the subconscious. It's quite a good analogy. I like that. Anyway, meanwhile, so there's this that is coming up to the surface. And I think this is probably a very important topic that we should, you know, just spend a little time on. You spoke about sure. your journey. I've had my journey. Everybody here in the chat room and who's listened has taken a journey of some kind that involves some kind of trauma, some kind of, this was terrible. This is the worst thing that could have possibly happened to a person, but I survived it. And that's actually now turned out to be the best thing because it's given me so many lessons. It brought me to here, brought me right. to today. And in fact, a lot of people might, when I do healing sessions, that's part of it, is the idea that we had to get to today. And people who have been through the most horrendous trauma, if you tell that to their inner child, the child will recognize it and the world turns round, because instead of being purposeless trauma, it becomes training. All right, let's see what you can take. And
with regards to the trauma, and what I find is oftentimes that the intense suffering is almost like a trigger for people to want to know truth, and it's a trigger for people going into themselves, because when you're suffering so greatly, and I've had that, you know, various times in my life, and you feel like there's no way out of it. The really only remedy that I have found for that is to do work on the self, to be willing to go inside oneself and get to work spiritually, mentally, energetically. But oftentimes I find that suffering is a catalyst for that. So that could be what's happening collectively, is that all of this great trauma and suffering around it is kind of serving as a catalyst for people to wake up to what they really are and what they're comprised of and what they can do and how this whole existence works. You mentioned before about, you know, how we don't need to be governed. And I know you were talking about, in the sense of the artificial man-made systems of governance. And we don't need that. We already have a governing system, and those are the universal laws or the spiritual laws. They are already at play, and our existence is subject to them. Our body, mind, and spirit system is subject to those laws, literally under the jurisdiction of those laws. So we're already governed by those. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody realizes that they already have a system of governance that they're subject to. The key is to get into harmony with that, to get into harmony with the natural order, the organization of existence, the organization of ourselves, what we're made up of. So, and the thing with existence is that there is no, and I know this is going to counter what science says, but there is no empty space in terms of like energy. The space will fill up. So if one is not governing their own mind and their own body and their own spirit energy, if one is not governing that, then there's going to be other forces governing that. Whether those are habitual thought patterns that are already in the subconscious, those will govern. Whether it's other people persuading you, and maybe you're kind of in the mindset of like drifting and allowing people to kind of direct your life. That's another type of governance. It's like, if we don't consciously govern ourselves, we will automatically be governed by something else. It's just the way of it. That's just the way the energy is always moving. There's no stagnation anywhere. It's just because, let's say, we're not exercising governance over ourselves, it doesn't mean we're not being governed by something. or somebody or some concept, ideas, programs. We're constantly under some type of governance, whether it's ourselves or other people. And then ultimately, we're under the jurisdiction of the natural law. So the only laws to really know and understand are those. The better understanding one has of the natural, organic, universal laws by which they are ruled by, then you really can live this life not being governed by the artificial man-made systems. But that is a process. Again, that doesn't happen overnight either. Becoming so deeply acquainted with the universal laws is a spiritual journey in and of itself. That's the great work. The great work that the esoteric books talk about, you know, that the wisdom of the ancients have left for us. That's the great work. The great work is bringing to light what's in the subconscious, bringing it to the conscious mind, uprooting things at the causal level, working from the level of cause, stopping trying to operate solely in the realm of effects, but really get to the work in the realm of cause, which is the origin of all your stuff. And so those are the keys. If you talk about the keys to the inner kingdom, the natural spiritual laws are one of those. One of the other ones is knowing thyself, knowing how you operate, knowing how you work. These are keys to freedom. These are the freedom that we're all looking for as freedom fighters and activists and exposing what we know. Those are the ways to the ultimate freedom we're seeking. So, and that's why I find it so important to talk about these things, because they're really, in my eyes, is nothing else anymore. It's very simple. The keys to our transformation and our transcending our sort of low vibrational existence that we found ourselves in. that's the way to transcend it. Becoming fully engaged with those laws and applying them to your life and understanding them.
That's right. So, the law of this show is that we have 1 hour and then we play some music. You chose some music. I've never heard this before. Sounds interesting. Tom Middleton, Return to Atlantis. Do you want to say anything about this one?
Sure. I love this song. This just kind of takes me away. When I hear this song, I just think of myself like whisked away somewhere, maybe in the tropics or out on the water in a boat, or just some kind of really relaxing and whimsical and magical scenario is what I think about when I hear this song.
All right, one of these.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Let's go back to Atlantis. So, welcome back to Ever Beyond, and I'll turn off that. That's my, then I'll turn this down and turn that back on. There we go. Stop the feedback. Well, there was a rather moist track there. Siobhan, are you back with us?
Yes. Did you like that, JP?
There we go. There was Atlantis. Great bass. You know, I was pottering around, but I could feel this bass kind of rippling through the house. It was great.
Yeah, I love that one. It's very uplifting. And I think your listeners liked it too. It sounds like, your audience enjoyed it as well.
Oh yes, definitely.
You're in the chat. Caught the vibes.
You're in the chat room there, yes. Good.
Me? No, I tried to log on. I had to do a whole login thing and then we went on the air. So I didn't fully go through with it. Cause it wanted me to register and whatnot. And I did. And then it, you know, when I clicked to proceed, it said something was wrong. Like,
oh God,
I wasn't recognizing my password and whatnot.
Chat and go. Yeah.
I'll keep trying to do that. I wanted to, I don't know if you think it's appropriate now, but I wanted to just take your listeners through an energy breath exercise.
It would
really
be
short.
It would be fabulous. It would be really fabulous to do that. This is, breathing is one of the things that I kind of advocate as a healing tool. Because most people don't breathe, because most people suffer from some form or other of PTSD. Through shock and trauma through our entire lives, and we don't breathe properly anymore. We do our best to hold our breath.
Yeah, right, it's true. And we haven't been taught proper breathing in schools or any sort of academic experiences that a lot of us may have had. We're not taught about that at all. You know, doctors don't teach about it. they don't teach about anything holistic, really. But those institutions that you would think would teach about this stuff because it's so vital to human health, of course they don't, just like many other things. But the breath is, and I knew about this years ago from reading spiritual books and whatnot. I didn't recognize the magnitude of it and the importance of it until my later sort of spiritual journey. And so when we take in when we're breathing in, not only are we breathing in oxygen and whatnot, but we're breathing in that universal life force energy, which permeates and powers everything. It's in the air, it's inside of us, it's all around us. And so what the energy breath exercises do is it increases your influx of the life force energy. And so, like you said, a lot of us are holding our breath. A lot of us are holding our breath. And when we're doing that, we're basically cutting off our life force. We're preventing our life force from flowing through the way it normally would.
Absolutely. So, we were talking about cycles before. And one of the, you know, there are two cycles that we rely on. One is the heart beating cycle, and it's very hard for us to even subconsciously change that. There's the breathing cycle, and that we seem to, our brains have been hijacked to do this. I'm sure that we shouldn't really be this susceptible to trauma. And I think it's because there's a relationship between shock and the breathing cycle that has been hijacked. But, you know, that's just me being paranoid.
Yeah. No, well, you know, again, and anything that could be done by the sort of overlords who were ruling the planet, anything they can do to stifle our true nature from expressing and coming out full force is done. Anything that can be done is done. So for us, it's really important to anything that wouldn't, the powers that were would not want us to look at, we should be looking at. So, and that includes the esoteric occult knowledge of olden times. And so that's what one thing I've found across the board with regards to all esoteric knowledge is this concept of proper breathing to allow the universal life force to flow freely through our systems. And it really is, it's the most powerful harmonizing energy in existence. So when we take it in properly and purpose to take it in larger amounts, we start healing from the inside out. Our healing is accelerated because you're not just using, let's say, intentions and mindset work and even, let's say, energy work like Reiki, which is great. But when the individual starts doing their own energy and breath work, somebody wrote prana, right? Exactly, that's what the East calls it. The East calls it prana. The West calls it universal life energy or life force or source energy.
Life globules.
A lot of different names for it. But across the board, the importance of the breath and the esoteric understandings is key. This is it. This is a key to our transcending to higher realms within our own self and to mega, mega major transformation, you know, from the inside out. And this is actually how, let's say, powers are developed, because we all come in to these bodies. We all carry the human genome, right? So we inherit the DNA of our parents. Okay. We inherit the DNA of our parents, but we also inherit the entire human genome, and the human genome is equipped with powers of all kinds, powers of awareness, powers of intelligence, the power to feel, the power to think, power of attention and directing attention, okay, cognition, recognition systems. We have so many powers and qualities inside of us that we're only, you know, maybe using a fraction of. And so the way to increase the amperage of any power you have inside of you is to start doing these energy breath exercises, because if you think about, and JP, you'd understand this because you're in radio, you know, if you think about electronics and raising the tone or lowering the tone or raising the pitch and lowering the pitch. You simply do that by pushing upward or downward, you know, by pushing the little doodad upward or downward.
Yeah.
And it's much the same with our powers and qualities. The universal life energy is what increases our awareness. So if we want to direct it to our power of awareness, we direct the energy to that power inside of us or whatever power we want to work on. So the energy serves to enliven maybe dormant powers or powers that we're using, but using a small fraction of. Okay. So it's all very literal. And so I'd like to take you guys through, just a very short breathing exercise so that you can focus and intend on increasing the influx of life force right now into your body, mind, energy system. And so this exercise comes from the Rosicrucian knowledge. And I know some people may feel a certain way about that. And, you know, it's possible that some of these secret societies could have taken a turn to the dark side, some of them, some people. But in terms of just the original teachings, it's just the same esoteric knowledge that is across the board. So this exercise is called the Breath of God exercise. And I want you guys out there to consider the word God however you want to. Because God means different things to different people. But when I read this, and I know what the Rosicrucians are talking about, God in the context of being that universal life energy, that all-pervading substance, that all-pervading reality that is powering everything. And some people might think of God as the positive polarity, you know, the highest possible vibration that can be known and achieved and experienced on the scale. So whatever it means to you. So guys out there, just take a moment to position yourselves, whether you're sitting or standing, even if you happen to be driving or something right now. You can keep your eyes open, but just assume a relaxed and comfortable position. Just be comfortable, you know, lower your shoulders, get present to your face muscles, kind of just relax them all. Now, breathe normally. On your next breath, this breath is going to be deliberate, okay? You're going to draw in through the nose and out of the nose, all right? So take a deep breath in through the nose, and as you're taking this breath in through the nose, think to yourself, I will draw in the omnipotent breath of God. Breathe in through the nose, draw in the omnipotent breath of God. And then you're going to retain and hold that breath for about 5 to 7 seconds while thinking the thought, I send the breath of God throughout my entire being to heal and to strengthen. And as you exhale through your nose, with all the feeling and dedication you can muster, think to yourself, I send out love and peace to all humanity. Let's just do this one more time. Take a deep breath in through the nose, inhaling, telling yourself, I will draw in the omnipotent breath of God. Hold the breath for 5 to 7 seconds and think the thought, I send the breath of God throughout my entire being to heal and to strengthen. And on your exhale through your nose, with all the feeling you can muster, I send out love and peace to all humanity. And then just resume your normal breathing. Now, these things seem very simple. It can almost seem elementary and infantile, but if you keep in a state of reverence for these types of exercises, these are going to be part of your toolbox, part of your keys to your inner kingdom. Just hands down. Without them, you cannot achieve the higher states of spirituality and transcendence that you might want to without doing this type of work. It's just not possible because you actually need fuel. You need raw fuel, just like a car needs gasoline, one that runs on gas.
Oxygen. We all need oxygen.
Oxygen too, but that's even talking about the elemental part of it. We literally need that, you know, electricity comes from, right? So the universal life or energy, like electricity is one form of that. Oxygen is one form of the universal life energy. Electricity is one form of the universal life energy. Electricity is what happens to power our whole nervous system. So when we breathe in the air, we're breathing in the electricity that we need to power our brain, our entire nervous system, which is what it runs on, pure electricity. So we live in a electromagnetic existence and an electromagnetic reality. We are ourselves electromagnetic beings. This universal life energy or prana is also electromagnetic. And so it is literally the raw fuel we need to accomplish those bigger things in life that we want to accomplish. No matter what it is, whether it has to do with your relationships, your career, money, your spirituality, those big things that you want to accomplish, you need the raw life force coming inside of you and being applied to those things you want to accomplish. Otherwise, it's going to be uphill. It's going to be like swimming uphill. And that's how I was for a lot of my life. I didn't know that I could use this energy and power to direct towards my own self and what I want to grow within my own self. And so that is the nutshell version of that. But how did you like that exercise, JP? Did that relax you? Did you find that nice?
That was very nice. I'm learning more and more different exercises. The first one that I got, which is a couple of years ago, and it's like become the basis of my healing sessions, is the in through the nose and out through the mouth. So this in through the nose and out through the nose, that's another one. And then there's in through the nose, out through the mouth, out through the mouth, in through the, they're all the different combinations, and they all have it's a technology. This is like the human body technology, and we just need to recognize that, if you do this one way, it's like throwing the switch, doing this. If you throw it the other way, it does something else. So if you breathe in one way, it'll cool you up, cool you down. Breathe in another way, it'll heat you up.
Yeah, there's a science to it. This is the scientific part of one's spirituality. And you can test these things for yourself. You know, if one, let's say, picks a particular energy breath exercise and is consistent with it, let's say does it every day, once a day or more than once a day for a period of time, you're going to start to feel the cumulative effects of that. You're going to start to notice certain things about yourself. And when I started doing certain energy exercises, a few months into doing them, my clairvoyance kind of went through the roof. My telepathy is kind of just like, you know, it's just so normal to be able to pick up on others' thoughts, not even knowing that I'm doing it, saying exactly what they were thinking at the time they were thinking it. Like that, just really, you just become a more finely tuned instrument for the energy to flow through. And so your inherent qualities and powers that you came into this life with are activated and enhanced. And we were talking about this on our private call. This goes so far as to anything even like, let's say, courage, or confidence. Sometimes people in life, you know, when you go through life, and sometimes you have periods of maybe where you kind of lost yourself, and or maybe you don't feel as confident as you. You're like, where did my confidence go? Where did my courage go? I used to be so ballsy, or I used to have the balls to do this and the courage to do that. And then you might find that that's diminished just because of what you've been going through in your life. That can be resurrected. So if you've, let's say, lost confidence, if you have lost some of your courage, those qualities can be reactivated, resurrected, and enhanced and grown strong again. Nothing you have had in your life in terms of your attributes and qualities and powers, if they have diminished at all, that there's no doom there because you can activate them and resurrect them.
You know,
and even once the first time.
The old saying, breathe new life into it. Sometimes that's all it requires.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You have to breathe new life into it and then direct that energy. The breath that you're pulling in. And the way you do that is really simple. You just use your mind power to direct it. You know, for everything that we can experience, there's a center inside our body and inside our mental atmosphere. You have a financial center. You know, whether people like that or not, we have a financial center. We have a money center. We have an awareness center. We have an emotional center. For every emotion that we feel, we know there's a biochemical component. There's a chemical that we release with every emotion that we feel. Everything happening, like you said, JP, You brought up the law of correspondence. Well, we know that's what that means, is whatever's happening at one level of our existence and our being is happening at all levels. So when you breathe new life into something, you don't have to necessarily know where that center is within you, but you can direct it with your mind to that center and grow it and just keep at it every day. Just keep at it a little more and more, and you'll find that you're not struggling anymore with this particular thing. It's not a struggle because you're using the battery juice that you need, that you in fact need to grow this quality.
You know, there's a lot of healing techniques that involve stuff like hydrogen peroxide that are really simply treating what I call hypoxia, which is also a hallucinogenic mental state caused by lack of oxygen in the brain. And that's what they blame the, the scientists. Oh, it's hypoxia that gives you these near-death experiences. Well, I think that most people suffer from hypoxia as a near-life experience. So by putting the oxygen back in, we literally breathe new life into ourselves. And often there's an emotional cause to why we shut down in the first place, you know. And again, literally, the aphorisms, they match, you know. So that I was so taken aback by that. The wind was knocked out of my sails, they say, you know, or I was gutted. I was winded by that remark. It was completely, breathless. All kinds of words that we use in our everyday language that describe being made to stop breathing by an emotional trigger.
Yeah. And so you see how the emotional triggers then are law of correspondence, and it's not just happening then at the level of emotions. It's when it starts to affect the body. You know, you're dealing with something real, even though it's unseen and intangible. You can't hold an emotion in your hand, can't hold a thought in your hand, but it's very real nonetheless. And people get to see the reality of that, the link between their emotion and their physical system. And so emotions can very literally block physical processes in our body. It can block energy from flowing. It can really muck up our nerve portals, our nerve channels. You know, energy can literally create blocks for us, energetic blocks for us. So the key is to, you can pour the life force energy through those blocks, and you're not doing it on your own anymore. You're not struggling with maybe just using mindset work and some other things, but when you bring the component of the life force energy or the prana into it, your journey of transformation around this area becomes much more fluid and much more effortless, much more easy. Not only that, when you do these breath and energy work consistently, you start to store up the energy inside you for later use. You can, like, you're like a battery. You store up this raw life energy fuel inside of your system to be used and directed at will when you want to use it. So the more energy you take in, the more you store and the more you have at your disposal to use at any given time. And a lot of that energy is stored where you probably know what we call the solar plexus. And the Taoists have a very interesting explanation on this. They call the solar plexus the center of the human being, because when you look at the way a baby grows inside the mother's womb, you see the umbilical cord connected to the belly button, and the baby grows up around the umbilical cord, and the baby's receiving its energy and its nutrients through the umbilical cord right into its belly button at the solar plexus. So that is where everything begins. That is the storage powerhouse within us when we're in the womb, and it remains so after birth. The solar plexus remains our sort of battery center for our life force energy. So when you take in the energy, it's getting stored there, and the more skilled you become at taking in this energy and utilizing it. You store it like a battery and call on its use when you need it. If something's getting hairy, you know, if you're entering choppy waters with somebody, or some situation where it's getting a little intense or hairy and, you know, you're in a position to where either your old programming is going to kick in and you're going to do what you used to do in the past, or you want to be somebody new, you know, who you've created yourself to be now, who you've decided to behave now, what you've decided to behave like now, you can call on that energy to help you. You make contact with it right away while you're in the midst of the chaos, and you call on that energy to harmonize you and stabilize you, and you acknowledge you're one with it, and it literally has this harmonizing effect. You basically have the most harmonious outcome that could be possible by calling on and using that energy. Does that make sense?
So, what kind of energies do you call on? I've got a question coming up, but yeah, we're in the last half hour, so we're coming up to it. So I'd like to invite any questions from the chat room. We already got one from Sean, but do you want to talk about what you were saying, you know, that specific wordings or anything like that?
Say again? You want me to, what was that?
Any specific wording of what you were just saying.
Specific wording with regards to the storing of the energy and the utilizing of it?
The utilizing, yeah. What am I talking about? Ways you can express it, I think, is one way of saying that.
Ways you can express the energy that you've been storing.
Yes. So when I say express, I mean like squeeze out, like get out of your body to express. That's what I mean by express.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and talk. I'm not sure if I'm really speaking to that. I mean, one of the examples I was giving, you know, I'll kind of just point back to that. It's especially useful when you're in a situation that is like a big moment of choice for you. Like if you're going to be your old self, or if you're going to be the self that you've been creating yourself to be. And when I say old self, I mean like your patterns, behavioral thought patterns that aren't necessarily serving you that you've been working to transform, okay? And when you're in the midst of a situation, let's say with a relative or just somebody in general, and you don't want to fall into your old habits of being, but maybe your new habits of being aren't so practiced yet to where they're just second nature to you. You have to actually like pay attention to be them and implement them. This is where the energy can be extremely useful. So again, because you're not going at it alone, you have like a part, like the best partner you could ever have in the life force energy. So when you're trying to hold on to who you are now and respond in a way that is conducive to who you've created yourself to be now, if you're struggling with that, you call on the life force energy in your own mind and you make connection to it. You connect, you can tell yourself, just like in Science of Being, that book, right? Eugene Fersen talks about making the mental contact. And he says, you know, you make the mental contact by telling yourself, I'm one with the universal life energy. It's flowing through me now and I can feel it. And you say that and you effing mean it. It's not like some whimsical new age, you know, statement that you make to yourself. You say that and you freaking mean it. You identify yourself as one with that energy and that it's flowing through you right now and you can feel it and you make that connection in your mind and then you speak from a different place altogether. You've recalibrated so quickly and now anything you're going to say and do has the power of the harmonizing power of the universal life energy back it. And so you'll say the best thing that you could possibly say then in that moment. You'll be the most harmonious you could possibly be in that moment. And it's really miraculous when you start using it in situations like that. And you don't have to just wait till something goes hairy, you know, to use that. You can connect with it throughout the day, all day long. I'm connecting with it in my mind, you know, and in my heart all day long, through various times throughout the day. And so that is what has made my spiritual work, I don't want to say easier, but it's made it, it has made it a little bit easier. You're not struggling upstream. You're not swimming upstream against the current. Now you're in full harmony with the life, the positive life currents. And so your spiritual work becomes that much more rewarding, fulfilling, and transformational. It's like throwing things into high gear. When you bring in the energy consciously, you're consciously working with it. Consciously working with it. Again, not in some whimsical, elementary, new agey way. I'm talking about like for real. When you're really conscious of it and you're working with it, purposing to use it in your life, things are going to change for you. You're going to see changes come about, accelerations come about. It throws your spiritual progress into high gear. It's kind of how I can describe it.
And really, that's the essence of the miracle life, or, well, indeed, just the galactic standard life. Because we don't live a standard galactic life here. We are, you know, well, we're recovering from being completely enslaved and, for 7,000 years. So it's, you know, it's like we're waking up from a very, very, bad dream.
A deep slumber.
Yeah.
A deep, deep slumber.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there is all the treasures obviously are to be found within ourselves, but in terms of material that people can turn to let's say learn more about. So, well, of course, my course, right? My masterclass covers all of this stuff in depth and provides various exercises to learn and work with. But one of my favorite books, which I sent to you, JP, but by the way, everybody, JP did an audio for my masterclass, and he just sounds so wonderful on there. You remember the part you did.
Yeah, well, this is very interesting. Let me just say that this came in, you kind of sent this thing to me. Oh, can you read this for me? Okay, sure. It came in about the same time that, we were having, we were being introduced to the other star meditation. I thought the star meditation was about this other thing. This is actually, standing, you know, like a star jump, you know, standing with your arms outstretched and your legs outstretched, and meditating like that. But at the same time, it combines with the star meditation from the star families, which is you grow a star in your heart at the same time that will then feed this whole system. So it was very interesting that I had one in one ear and one in the other, and it was like, oh, there it goes.
A little synchronicity for you then.
Perfect. Yeah. So, so how did that go? I mean, I have no idea. You just sent me this thing and I did this and, you know, and I sent it back to you and I haven't heard from you since. So, how many, you know, I'm just interesting. How many, what sort of audience has it had? And, you know, what was, and, presumably you have other readers to read other chapters?
Well, I had some other readers read some other material. You were the one that I sent the Science of Being material to. And then I had some other friends read and take, you know, students through certain exercises, like the Breath of God exercise I teach in that class as well. So the star exercise that I sent to you, that I'm saving for. So this masterclass just launched this past week. And really the whole academy is called Human Power and Energy Academy, and it's an online school. And our first master class is called Unfolding Your True Nature, Stepping Out of Your Comfort Zone and Into Your True Nature Zone, where all of what we're talking about is taught in depth. And so you have the knowledge side, access to metaphysical, esoteric, spiritual knowledge, the ancient wisdom, and then actual application of that stuff, because we know knowledge is really, unfortunately, meaningless. Just to collect knowledge and not do anything with it, not to apply it to our life, nothing's going to happen. Like, wisdom doesn't come just from collecting knowledge. Wisdom comes from taking the knowledge and applying it to your life. So that's
normally when things go wrong as well. You know, you don't learn things in a kind of nice, sterile, laboratory-type atmosphere. You learn things in the field. and yeah. Oh my God, I didn't bring that tool with me. I'm going to have to improvise. That's where wisdom starts kicking in.
Exactly. Exactly. So the application, so that's where I think we're at in terms of like people who have been on this awakening journey for a while. I really encourage now that it's time to fully implement all of the tools that you know, time to apply them to your life on the regular, on the regular. And so that's what we teach. And so your audio was about the importance of health in the body. But the star exercise in particular, once this class is maxed out in terms of enrollment of students, then I'm going to be making an energy workshop, basically like energy breath exercise workshop with a variety of breath and energy exercises that you learn and you do, that you start doing in your daily life. And it's so wonderful when you explore the esoteric material, because a lot of people are used to just, and like myself, I was used to sort of a lot of the prana exercises from the East, you know, the Kundalini and the various type of yoga breathing. But what astonished me and really got my antennas perked was when I came across some of the Western ancient wisdom. And so I came across like the science of mental physics, which is basically mystic Christianity. And in there, there's a whole series of powerful exercises that, again, when I started using them a few months into it, and I still have these experiences sometimes of just like, the energy is going to start doing things to you. I've had experiences where I've had during my energy routine, involuntary rotative movements, like my body will start rotating involuntarily, and you just have to let it pass. You can't get freaked out by these things. The energy is moving in you. It's doing something to you. It's working inside of you. And so, you know, high weirdness, high strangeness, weird things can happen. But you have to just trust it. You just trust it and let the energy do what it's doing in that moment, and then it will pass. So it's very real. The more you do these types of exercises, the more you can literally feel the energy flowing through your hands, flowing through your body, doing things to your body that are completely abnormal and foreign to you, but you trust it.
Yes,
trust
like it, like forward. when you start looking like your hands and legs go in the position of Buddhas on these old Tibetan paintings.
You know, look, you're an energy being, and so when you start playing with it, and when you start upping the ante, increasing the amperage of the energy you're taking in, it kind of has a will of its own in a way. And the best thing to do is just merge with that will. And so if the will of the energy in that moment is to cause, particular hand movements or some type of gyration, then just let it do it. Just let it do what it needs to do inside of you. Chances are it's correcting something. It's opening a pathway that was closed and blocked. It's doing something positive for you.
You know, it's one of these, for old-fashioned switchboards back in the 50s, they had this cord that came out of a panel on the front, and you pull it and you plug it into the thing at the back. And you know, that's how they used to connect phone calls. You see these things in ancient pictures. I believe that that's the same thing. The same thing is going on energetically. Because I found, you know, it'll be like I'm literally pulling a little wire out or a hair and then plugging it in somewhere else on my body. Again, body technology, self-organizing, because it knows what to do.
It does.
You have to, I believe that when you're meditating, when you're doing this thing, this is something, is you're actually allowing your soul to inhabit your body and drive it with your permission. And that's really the only kind of walk-in situation that we should ever allow, is our very own soul, because this is why we grew. Our soul has grown us in order to use us as its means of transport and, presence in this plane.
Yeah. And the soul uses this energy. The mystics make a distinction, right? Of course, as you know, between soul versus body, mind, and even energy or spirit. There's a distinction between spirit and soul. Spirit, mystically, is that energy we're talking about, that prana, that universal life force energy that powers everything, that is the essence of electricity, that is the essence of magnetism, that is the essence of every form of energy we know of. They all have the same power at their essence. And so that is the spirit in us, that universal life force with the will of its own. That's our spirit. That's our spirit. And so the soul is using the spirit. The soul is using the universal life energy. So there's all these distinctions that the mystics make that really clarify for us our constitution, what we're made up of. And so you have the distinction as the soul being the sort of the origin point of all consciousness, the origin point of all power, and the manifestation of this soul, the first manifestation of the soul is the spirit, the Holy Ghost, the universal life energy. Okay, and so that's one of the things the soul uses. The soul also uses the body and the mind. And those systems are energy-based systems too. The mind expends what? The prana, the universal life energy in thinking. Just thinking expends the energy. And we're thinking all damn day. So we're not recharging our batteries, right? We gotta recharge our batteries, our fuel. Especially so that we can have clear, harmonious thoughts. So these distinctions are made in the esoteric literature over time, and they're great distinctions because they give us more insight into how we actually work and function and how we're organized. And you mentioned the star exercise before, and that is a great exercise as well. That can be found for your audience in, so there's a great book, guys, called The Science of Being. If you're not already familiar with it, it's called The Science of Being in 27 Lessons by author Baron Eugene Fursten. And his story is quite interesting. He was, I believe, maybe Polish. Anyway, he came from a royal family.
Baron Eugene what? I'm just typing it in.
Fursten, F-E-R-S-E-N. F like Frank, F-E-R-S-E-N, Fursten. And if you just graze over his story, it's fantastic. He basically waived his royal status, his title of baron. He gave that up in order to acquire United States citizenship so he could disseminate this information in his book, so he could disseminate some of the information we're talking about today. He had to give up his royal status to do that. And so his book is very centered around the life force, and it is one of the best books you'll ever read in your entire life. I'm telling you, hands down, one of the treasures that we have access to. So check that out if you can. Love his stuff. But he talks about the star exercise in that. That is a main exercise he teaches. And that is where you stand sort of in the shape of a star, left hand facing, you know, upwards, the palm facing upwards, and then the right hand palm facing downwards. And this is where you stand in this position and you tell yourself what I told you before. I'm one with universal life energy. It's flowing through me now. I can feel it. And you can do this exercise a few times a day, and it's building up the energy inside of you. So that is a fantastic exercise. Another one I would recommend are the 5 Tibetan Rites. This is readily available right on YouTube. Some people make their own variations of them, so try to get to the original ones if you can, the 5 Tibetan Rites. And this is another series of exercises that increases your life force. And that over, the thing with these energy exercises is that they have a cumulative effect. And you will feel certain things right away, but where you really see the power and start to feel, and I'm talking feel it, not in some fantasy way. Literally, you start to feel it as you do these things cumulatively. And I'll stop there for the moment.
Fabulous. So, there we go. No, that was the wrong control. So, okay, there we go. I've got this idea for a project, which is to mute my speakers when I hang up my headphones, or when I pick, because I'm always causing this big feedback loop every time I do that, because I forget to mute the speakers when I've got the microphone running. Anyway.
You have a lot going on with all those controls, you know, having to manage all at the same time.
It's like a flight deck. You're on now, fly.
Yes, you're a pilot. Wolf spirit pilot.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, wolf spirit, you know, we do have spirits around us that help us and continue to help us, and other dimensional beings, let's say. It's like the battle at the end of the Lord of the Rings, where, you know, even the ghosts take part.
Right.
So we're all jamming here together, and there is a lot of it does seem to be a center for synchronicities. Yeah, I suppose you could. Yeah,
anyway, I like that word.
Yeah, let's crack a new one open. Yeah. Synchronicities activities, because, you know, it's synchronous. You know, people will find themselves in this place. And, you know, it's funny, the more of a medium that I'm working with, the more I become a medium, you know, I'm like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I will say things. I have a show on Mondays that I speak, and I'll just say things just in my normal, you know, we're talking about normal things that happened in the day. And then there's these messages that I read, and so many of the keywords that I was just blathering on about. I was just talking stuff. You know, I went to the shop today and I bought a green this or that, you know, and then the green this or that turns up in the readings, which were done like hours beforehand. You know, it's very
synchronicitous happening again.
Yeah. And so people will find themselves in the chat room, and, they'll be, you know, they'll make friends, and they might even get married. We have a couple of couples. You know, we've been going for about 7-8 years now. So,
yes,
all of life is here. We've had everything. It's been a lovely conversation with you. I'd like to chuck a question in. Somebody asked in the first hour, but can you talk about, you know, you're talking about making choices about being your authenticity and working from that. What about implants? Can you say anything about implants? Physical implants.
Mm. Oh boy, God, we could have a whole nother show on that. I actually, let's see, had to be about 4 years ago now. I had an experience with Morgellons. I had active Morgellons, and I didn't realize that's what it was until 9 months of, like, searching if it was bed bugs, calling in the pest control people to search the house for bed bugs. 9 months of torture, JP, these outbreaks of what I thought were bites. And it was only literally, I thank the divine, because I was at the end of my rope. I had actually moved out of where I was living, threw out all of my clothes, thinking it was bed bugs. Literally threw out everything, blankets, pillows, pillowcase, threw out everything and started from scratch all over again. Only to experience that when I moved into my new place, I was getting quote unquote bit again. And I was just devastated, JP, because it was 9 months of torture. And I couldn't even wear a bathing suit. I was breaking out in these, what I later realized were episodes of Morgellons, active Morgellons, fibers coming out of my body, AI fibers, you know what I mean? So this was a very trying period in my life, and only by divine help did I realize what it was. There was one night when I moved into my new place, about a week or two into it, and this was happening still, and I was at a complete loss, and I was so, I didn't feel suicidal, but I felt like I literally was questioning, how can I go on like this? How can I go on like this with the rest of my life? I can't go on like this. It's literal torture. And so I had sort of a dark night of the soul that night, and I was working with a particular sound frequency, okay, what we know as mantras, sacred sounds, sacred vowel sounds. I was working with this one in particular very, very sincerely, because I was at the end of my rope. And I just basically fell asleep just chanting this mantra, basically asking for divine intervention to show me what this is so I can do something about it. Because I've always been very good holistically. I haven't visited doctors in over 10 years. And once I know what's going on, then I can heal it, self-heal. So that night, I fell asleep in this horrible condition of despair and asking for divine intervention. And I got it the next morning. It came the next morning in an idea. The idea was to take a shower with clay and olive oil. Rub the clay soap on my body, and then after the shower, apply this olive oil. And so I just did what I was instructed to do in thought. And lo and behold, after the olive oil, it started almost like pulling out all of these fibers. And at first it looked like little bugs. And when I pulled them off and placed them against a white background on the toilet paper, and we took a magnifying glass to it, my God, JP, I saw blue and red and all these iridescent fibers. And I said, holy shit. I know exactly what this is because of all my chemtrail activism. I had come across Morgellons, but it didn't occur to me that was what it was. So that's what I was dealing with. So talk about implants. I went through a whole healing period, and I know exactly what to do to deactivate them, by the way. We could do another show about that if we want at some point, but there is a deactivation process. And what happened for me is several weeks into my healing, what I considered at least one of, or the mother AI, started coming out of me. I know this sounds crazy, guys, but probably your audience will probably be one of the audiences who don't think I'm crazy. So, but this is intelligence we're dealing with. The AI.
It's all right. We're with you, and yeah, we recognize the trauma of it as well.
It is true. It was traumatic. And the AI came out of my arm, and I know it was intelligent because when it first started peeking out of my arm, I had a pain in that area. And so it started peeking out, and I went with a tweezers to pull it out. And when I went to pull it out, it popped back in. Okay, so this thing was intelligent. And so I had to, over 2 weeks, I just used my mind power and my energy to push it back out. I just kept visualizing it coming back out. And this, when it started to pop out again, instead of pulling it, I pushed it and it popped out. And this thing was sharp and thin, and it was large, rather large to be in the body. So I have been through the implants, not knowing that they were that, realizing what they were, and then having them actually come out of me. And what I have to say about that is there's also subconscious work to be done there. These implants, some kind of divine intervention may help you, because we haven't been taught how to deal with it. You know, mentally, are we equipped to deal with it? Well, we better be, because it's happening. And so as far as implants go, all right, here's where your power lies. Okay, because those implants are likely trying to direct your thought and trying to direct your emotional state, trying to direct your vibration that you're emitting. And so this is, again, why we need the universal life force energy, because we have a lot of shit to overcome, right? We have the implants to overcome. So we have to become smarter than the implants. We have to become ever more aware of ourselves and these dominant thought and behavior patterns, because some of them may be being directed by those implants, trying to keep us in a lower vibration. The way you overcome that is to develop self-mastery, implants or not. We still have to develop self-mastery. And so when we become aware of the thought patterns that the implants are like leading us to think and believe, and we work at the level of cause, we have this. It's the same kind of recipe as before. Implants or no implants, we still have to do the same thing. It's just that the implants add a whole nother dimension and dynamic to everything. So self-mastery is the way to overcome implants, connecting with your spirit and the even the divine will help overcome the implants. But we could talk about that another time as far as ways to even deactivate yes. some of the Morgellons implants. There, a diet is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And other, there's other components that can trigger it as well.
Yes, there's things that, I mean, it's a multiple vector injection
yes.
that we're, and we don't all get all of them, but when you do get all of them, bing, this thing starts assembling. Very fascinating. Thank you so much, Siobhan Grace, for gracing us with your presence. It's been a long time, and thank you. And I think we've got some good nuggets out there. Don't you think?
I think so too. What I would just want to leave with everyone is that, you know, with regards to the life force energy, it is the component that you need to attain self-mastery and, you know, true magic. If you're, a magician, if you're into the quantum physics, if you're into the occult knowledge, if you're into all of this stuff, the spirituality, the one component that you absolutely need regarding all of it is to increase your influx of life force energy. Hands down, if there's one thing I could tell you to do, it's do that.
Absolutely.
And it opens up a whole realm of spiritual wisdom, insight, and healing. My God, you can accelerate your healing when you start working with the life force every day.
Exactly. So, use the life force. Use the force, Luke. And...
Yep. May the force be with you, JP.
May the force be with all of you and with you.
Yes. And with all of you listening.
And breathe. That's all it takes. Just a bit more oxygen than you're normally using. All right. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Beyond.